More U.S. soldiers were killed in Iraq today, at the end of the bloodiest week for Americans since the fall of Baghdad. More than 30 American troops have been killed there in the last 7 days. Also today, the International Red Cross announced from Geneva it is temporarily closing its offices in Baghdad and Basra for security reasons. President Bush and other officials of his administration now use the word dangerous to describe the situation in Iraq. That's been the case since the publication of an internal memo a couple of weeks ago in which Defense Secretary Rumsfeld said he had greater concerns about the progress in Iraq and the war on terrorism than the administration had been saying publicly. But the president also contends that coverage of the war and occupation of Iraq emphasizes attacks and violence while not noting progress and peace in much of the country. We're joined now by a couple of people. David Korn is Washington editor of The Nation magazine, author of the new book, The Lies of George W. Bush, Mastering the Politics of Deception. He's in our studios. Mr. Korn, thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you.
And joining us from NPR's New York studios is William McGowan, senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. His book is Coloring the News, How Political Correctness Has Corrupted American Journalism. Thank you for being with us, Mr. McGowan.
Great to be here.
Mr. McGowan, how do you see the administration's characterization of the occupation and events?
Well, I think you hear different things from different parts of the administration. You know, the White House puts a positive spin on it. Rumsfeld's memo, I thought, was marked with political fingerprints all over it. But at least it, you know, finally said, look, it's going to take time, and we kind of have to find a way to contextualize. When he mentioned the word metrics, everybody jumped all over him for bringing up the ghosts of Vietnam, you know, body counts, etc. And I don't think that's exactly what was being referenced there.
Do this generation of reporters always have Vietnam on the mind?
The default settings are the Vietnam settings. You know, if there are a couple of days where, you know, things aren't going well, all of a sudden quagmire comes along. We saw that in Afghanistan, you know, during the first 3 weeks before some of the key cities fell. We saw that in Iraq in the big armored columns rolling to Baghdad when they got stuck. We were in a quagmire. So I think that's a problem.
Mr. Korn.
I agree with Bill, basically, on that. I think reporters are like generals, and they're often fighting the last war. Mm-hmm. But having said that, you do have people, Republican senators like John McCain and Chuck Hagel, who in the last few weeks have been saying that while this isn't like Vietnam, perhaps as a military challenge, they were seeing similarities between the administration's response to questions and lack of candor with that of the Democratic and Republican administrations that waged the war in Vietnam. I think reporters often look for shortcuts, and I think looking at it as Vietnam is an easy way to deal with it. My criticism is not that they're worrying about Vietnam or seeing a metaphor that may not exist, is that I don't think they're always being as challenging of the president as they could be, particularly in the months up to the war. But even when you look at the recent press conference, you know, he's asked questions such as, can you say the troops will be gone in a year? And he says, well, that's a trick question. President's kind of right on that. I mean, no president's going to answer a question of that nature. We simply don't know. Why would you say so? He could say, I hope so, but, you know, let's be adults about this.
Go ahead, Mr.
And I think the interesting thing was in the press coverage before the war, there were issues that came up. You know, what was the status of planning? What might the cost be? How many troops might you need afterwards? These were debates that did get some attention in Congress, and there was among advocates who were fighting pro and against the war. And I think the media didn't do a very good job at that point of pressing the president on these things.
Ultimately, are the responsibilities and the point of view of the press different from that of a chief executive? And that maybe the press can say, okay, we're going to do an investigative series to determine whether or not Saddam Hussein has these weapons and whether or not he's inclined to use them or hand them off. But for someone who's president of the United States, they have a judgment to make in a way the press doesn't.
Can I jump in there on that one?
Yeah.
Journalists are just simply not in a position to take intelligence, you know, that only government agencies can gather and synthesize it. I mean, we just at this point we have to rely on our sources in the intelligence apparatus.
Well, so actually, Bill, a lot of the media, their sources throughout the run-up to the war, were telling them that the president's statements were not in sync with the intelligence, and you know that was found in a lot of stories, and in fact, the day after he gave that speech.
But David, there was always a sense that somewhere there was some intelligence. I think this is why, well, you know, the Powell speech was so important. I mean, a lot of people, you know, were impressed by that.
And now we know
the point is that it, it's going to take a while to sift through this, and I don't think it's helpful to make premature, you know, conclusions about this into an election year.
Well, I can understand why some people won't want to do that in the election year. I would consider it a tremendously important issue for the electorate to get a sense of whether the president truly leveled with the public or not on this key issue.
I'm not saying that it's not an election year issue to go into whether weapons of mass destruction, you know, existed or not. I just don't think you can get that answer this quickly. I don't think we can dissect this intelligence. I mean, look at the Pentagon Papers. What, 30 years of decisions on Vietnam?
Yeah, I mean, but we have, I mean, I think 19 volumes is not a tremendous amount of paper to go through.
Have the events of September 11th, 2001 changed for the moment the way the press covers the presidency and the executive branch?
I think it did initially. I think there was I think there's always a certain amount of deference in the White House press corps to the president, and they sort of judge how far they can go in being confrontational or accusatory or crusading.
But let me interrupt. Is that any different from, let's say, a local Chicago reporter covering a precinct when you're covering a beat?
It's beat reporting. You need access. And if you get frozen out, your editors ask you, well, you know, you have to then explain it.
Mr. McGowan?
Of course, everybody rallied around the flag, rallied around Bush. And, you know, now we're in a war. And this Vietnam quagmire paradigm, I think, is breathing down his neck very much. And there's a bit of a pile on in terms of day-to-day what's happening. But I think the flack he's getting for the management or the mismanagement of the so-called peace over there is justified. And I don't think there's enough of a sense of how this war is being politicized into the election cycle. And I'd like to see a little bit more of a sense from Washington reporters of how the Democrats are playing this and what kind of pressure that's putting on the president to perhaps make bad decisions in terms of military strategy.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
David Korn, Washington editor of The Nation magazine. His book is The Lies of George W. Bush, Mastering the Politics of Deception. And up in New York, William McGowan's senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. His book is Coloring the News, How Political Correctness Has Corrupted American Journalism.